This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. Volume 4. Entitled His Sayings. The first one is entitled, James Robertson's Last Illness. A Jonesboro Negro, while waiting for the train to go out, met up with Uncle Remus. After the usual time of day had been passed between the two, the former inquired about an acquaintance. "How's James Robertson?" he said. "Ain't you hear about Jim?" asked Uncle Remus. "Dat I ain't," responded the other. "I ain't hear talk of Jim since he cut loose from the chain gang. Dat what a axe, he ain't down with the biliousness, is he?"
"Not that I knows of," responded Uncle Remus gravely.
"He ain't sick. He ain't been sick. He just took and said he was going to ride that ere roan mule of Myers Jones's the other Sunday, and the mule, she up and do like she got another engagement. I done been fooled with that mule before, and I took and told Jim that he better not get tangled up with her. But Jim, he up and allowed that he was a hoss doctor, and with that he asked me for a chaw tobacco, and then he got the bridle and took and cotched the mule and got on her. Well," continued Uncle Remus, looking uneasily around, "I spec you better go get your ticket. They tells me dis yer train goes a Callahootin'."
"Hold on there, Uncle Remus, you ain't tell me about Jim," exclaimed the Jonesboro Negro.
"I done tell you all I knows, child. Jim, he tuck and light on the mule, and the mule, she up and hump herself, and then dey was a scuffle, and when the dust blow away, dere lay the nigger on the ground, and the mule, she stood eatin' at the trough with one of Jim's galusses wrapped round her behind leg. Then afterwards, the coroner, he come round, he tuck and give it out that Jim died sort of accidental-like. It's just like I tell you, the nigger wa'n't sick a minute. So long, bye and bye, you won't catch your train. I got to be knocking along."
Number 2, Uncle Remus's Church Experience. The deacon of a colored church met Uncle Remus recently, and after some uninteresting remarks about the weather, asked, "How dis you don't come down to church no more, Brother Remus? We've been a-having some mighty refreshing times lately."
"It's been a long time since I've been down there, Brer Rastus, and it'll be longer. I done got my dose."
"You ain't done gone and unjoined, is you, Brother Remus?"
"Not exactly, Brer Rastus. I just took and drawed out. The members is a blame sight too mutual for to suit my doctrines."
"How was that, Brer Remus?"
"Well, I tell you, Brer Rastus, when I went to that church, I went just as humble as the next one. I went there for to sing, and for to pray, and for to worship, and I most generally always had a stray shin plaster which the old woman say she won't sot out there to them colored folks cross the water. It went on this away till by and by, one day, the first news I knowed, there was a row got up in the Amen Corner. Brer Dick, he announced that there weren't enough money in the box, and Brer Sim said if there were, he spec Brer Dick knowed where it disappeared to. And then Brer Dick allowed that he won't stand no probusness, and with that he haul off and took Brer Sim under the jaw kerblap. And then they clinched and drapped on the floor and fought under the branches and among the women. About that time, Sis Tempe, she lipped up in the air and sing out that she gone and trample on the old boy. She kept on lipping up and slinging out her hands till by and by, blip, she tuck Sis Becky in the mouth. And then Sis Becky riz and fetch a grab at Sis Tempe. And I clear to gracious, if it didn't appear to me that she got a pound of wool. After that, the revivin' sort of head up like. Both of them had kin among the mourners, and if you ever see scufflin' and scramblin', it was then and there. Brer James Henry, he mounted Brer Plato and rid him over the railin', And then the preacher, he start down from the pulpit. And just as he was skipping onto the platform, a hymn book caught him in the bur of the ear. And I'd be blessed if it didn't sound like a bung shell busted. Just then, Brer Jesse, he riz up in his seat, sort of careless-like, and went down into his britches after his razor. And right then I knowed sure enough trouble was begun. Sis Dilsey, she seated herself, and she tuck and let off one of them hallelujah hollers, and then I disremember what come to pass. I get sort of old, Brer Rastus, and it seemed like the dust sort of shut out the panorama. Furthermore, my limbs got to aching, and more especially when I hear Brer Sim and Brer Dick a snorting and a scuffling under the benches like they were sort of making their way to my pew. So I kind of humped myself and scramble out, and the first man what I seed was a policeman, and he had a nigger arrested, and the forgiven name of that nigger was Remus.
Didn't rest you, did he, Brer Remus?
It's just like I tell you, Brer Rastus. And I had to get Mars John for to go into my bones for me. It ain't no use for to sing out church to me, Brer Rastus. I done been and got my dose. When I goes to war, I want to know what I'm doing. I don't want to get hemmed up among no women and preachers. I wants elbow room, and I'm pleased to have it. Just give me elbow room. But Brer Remus, you ain't... I might drop in, Brer Rastus. Then again, I mightn't. But when you see me saunter in the door with my specs on, you can just say to the congregation, sort of familiar-like, here come old man Remus with his hoss pistol, and if there's much of a scuffle round you this evening, you're going to hear from him. That's me, and that's what you can tell him. So long. Remember me to Sis Abby.
Saying number 3, Uncle Remus and the Savannah Darkie. The notable difference existing between the Negroes in the interior of the Cotton States and those on the seaboard, a difference that extends to habits and opinions as well as to dialect, has given rise to certain ineradicable prejudices which are quick to display themselves whenever an opportunity offers. These prejudices were forcibly, as well as ludicrously, illustrated in Atlanta recently. A gentleman from Savannah had been spending the summer in the mountains of North Georgia, and found it convenient to take along a body servant. This body servant was a very fine specimen of the average coast Negro, sleek, well-conditioned, and consequential, disposed to regard with undisguised contempt everything and everybody not indigenous to the rice-growing region. And he paraded around the streets with quite a curious and critical air. Espying Uncle Remus languidly sunning himself on a corner, the Savannah darkie approached.
"Mornin', sir."
"I'm sorta up and about," responded Uncle Remus carelessly and calmly. "How is you standin' it?"
"Thank you, my help most so-so. It more hot than in the mountain. Seems so like man must get needed shade. I ain't tiff to see no rice bud in dis pots."
"In dis which?" inquired Uncle with a sudden affectation of interest.
"In dis pots, in dis country. De plenty in Savannah."
"Plenty where?"
"De plenty in Savannah. I ain't if I see no crab and no osher, no swimp, and no stand round. I like some rice bud now."
"You're talking about these yere sparrows, which they all had, and 11 of 'em makes one mouthful, I spec," suggested Uncle Remus. "Well, they're yere," he continued, "but this ain't no climate where the rice bird flies into your pockets and gets out the money and makes the change to sell. And oysters don't shuck off the shells and run o' you in the street. And no more does the simp hold themselves and drop in your mouth. But they are here, though. The scads'll fetch 'em."
"Hippo country for true,"
commented the Savannah Negro.
"You know, like Sewanee, down there, we set and eat the shade and eat the rice bud, and the crab, and the swim treat time of day.
and the buckram man drinking him wine, and smoking him cigar, all true tonight. Plenty to eat, not much for work.
It's mighty nice, I spec,
responded Uncle Remus gravely. The nigger that ain't hope up longer high feedin' ain't got no grip. But up here, where folks has got to scramble round and make their own livin', the victuals what's accumulated without any sweatin' most always generally belongs to some other man by rights. One hoe cake and a rasher of middlin' meat last me from Sunday to Sunday, and I'm in a mighty big streak of luck when I gets that. The Savannah Negro here gave utterance to a loud, contemptuous laugh, and began to fumble somewhat ostentatiously with a big brass watch chain.
But I spec I struck up with a paying job last Tuesday, continued Uncle Remus in a hopeful tone.
What you gwine do?
Oh, I'm a-waitin' on a cold gentleman from Savannah, one of these here high livers you've been telling about.
How dat?
I loaned him $2, responded Uncle Remus grimly, and I'm a-waitin' on him for the money. It's one of these here jobs what lasts a long time.
The Savannah Negro went off after his rice birds, while Uncle Remus leaned up against the wall and laughed until he was in imminent danger of falling down from sheer exhaustion. End of the same.